This program is provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim.
Right now, global intelligence agencies are warning that artificial intelligence can crack high-level government security in a matter of months.
Yeah, it's wild.
But meanwhile, over in Norway, that exact same technology has just been banned in elementary schools.
Why?
Because it's literally stopping 10-year-olds from learning how to do basic math.
It is just a staggering juxtaposition.
Right.
And I mean, it really highlights a reality we are all crashing into right now. The core technology of AI has accelerated so far beyond the physical, legal, and even cognitive infrastructure we currently have in place.
Yeah.
Dominant systems are just, well, they're simply failing to contain it.
Okay, let's unpack this because we have a really fascinating mission for you on this deep dive.
We do.
We are looking at a stack of intelligence from a highly condensed 48-hour window in late June 2026.
Right, just a two-day snapshot.
Exactly. And we are tracking global cybersecurity warnings, massive financial whiplash for tech giants, high-stakes geopolitical maneuvers, and like we mentioned, that sudden school ban in Scandinavia.
Right.
Our goal today is to map the massive friction happening right now between AI's explosive new capabilities and the chaotic, often completely contradictory ways our governments, our markets, and our schools are trying to control it.
To understand that friction, you really have to look at these seemingly disconnected events, like plunging stock price, a school board decision, a cyber warning as symptoms of the exact same growing pain.
Yeah.
The architecture of our society is stretching under the sheer force of this new capability.
So let's start with that raw capability, right?
Right.
The sharpest edge of that acceleration.
Okay.
On June 22nd, the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, so that's the US, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they issued a joint cybersecurity warning.
A major one.
Yeah. They stated that frontier AI models will have the capability to breach government and corporate security systems within months, not years, months.
The collapse of that timeline is the critical detail here.
Yeah.
And the catalyst for this urgency was the recent demonstration of Anthropic's new Mythos model. It showed this unprecedented ability to automatically detect software vulnerabilities and then immediately develop the exploits for them.
I want to pause there, actually, because we hear terms like vulnerabilities and exploits thrown around constantly.
Sure.
For those who don't live in the developer trenches, what does that transition actually look like in practice?
Well, historically, finding a flaw in a piece of code, especially a zero-day vulnerability,
right,
which is a flaw that the software vendor doesn't even know exists yet, meaning there are 0 days to prepare for it.
Right, the really dangerous stuff.
Exactly. Finding those takes brilliant, highly specialized human minds. They spend hundreds of hours probing, fuzzing the code, you know, looking for a microscopic crack in the armor.
Okay.
That is step one. Step two is writing the exploit, which is the specific custom-built weapon designed to pry that crack open and gain access.
And those were always separate.
Yeah. Two distinct, highly labor-intensive steps. But Mythos demonstrated that both steps can now be done in one fluid, automated motion by an AI.
Wow. It completely changes the physics of cyber defense.
It really does.
To put it in perspective, I mean, it feels like giving a burglar a master key that can infinitely reshape itself to fit any lock on the street and doing it in seconds.
That's a great way to look at it.
But let me push back on this a bit, or at least try to clarify the nature of the threat. Is the danger actually the AI model itself?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the danger just the sheer speed at which it automates things human hackers were already doing anyway? Because, you know, software vulnerabilities have always existed.
That is a fair distinction. And what's fascinating here is that the speed itself is the danger.
Okay.
You've isolated the exact mechanism of the threat.
Yep.
Traditional cyber warfare has always been constrained by a natural bottleneck, which is human labor. You only have so many elite hackers.
Mm.
By automating the transition from vulnerability discovery directly to exploit generation, you remove that bottleneck entirely. You drastically lower the barrier to entry for attackers while just overwhelming defenders with sheer volume.
And that doesn't get tired.
Exactly. A bad actor doesn't need a state-sponsored army of coders if a model like Mythos can do the heavy lifting of weaponizing the code.
And when governments realize a master key like that exists, their first instinct is obviously to try and lock it away.
Naturally.
Which brings us to the second piece of intelligence. The U.S. government tried to contain this threat by placing strict export controls on the top-tier Fable 5 models.
Right.
Basically trying to keep the most advanced AI out of the hands of foreign adversaries.
I mean, it's a standard playbook maneuver, really. From a pure national security standpoint, if a technology can automatically generate zero-day exploits, you restrict global access to it.
Right, but the market reaction to that restriction has created this massive geopolitical backfire.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the U.S. restricted Fable 5, they essentially created a massive, highly lucrative void in the global enterprise market.
Mm.
And China's Zipu AI stepped right into that void.
Yeah, they released GLM 5.2.
Exactly. And they just released it, and it scored a 1595 on Code Arena.
Right. Which, for context, Code Arena is basically the global SATs for AI coding capabilities.
Okay.
So scoring a 1595 ranks GLM 5.2 second overall in the world.
Wow.
But because the actual number one model, Fable 5, is restricted by the U.S. government, GLM 5.2 is effectively the number one usable coding model on the planet for a vast portion of the global market.
And the way they released it is what makes it so disruptive. They didn't lock it behind some proprietary API wall.
No, they didn't.
It's released under an MIT license. It is open weights. And there are absolutely no regional restrictions.
This is a crucial distinction. When a company gives you API access, they are basically letting you rent a car. You can drive it, but they own the engine and they can shut it off whenever they want.
Right.
Open weight means they are giving you the actual engine blueprints. You can download the model, run it locally on your own servers, and actually modify the underlying mathematical weights that dictate how the AI thinks.
Plus, I mean, the economics are just brutal for U.S. competitors. GLM 5.2 costs a third of what GPT 5.5 costs.
A third?
Yeah, we're looking at like $1.40 for input tokens, and $4.40 for output. So by trying to keep the best toys locked in the sandbox to protect ourselves, the U.S. accidentally built a highly profitable playground right next door.
That is exactly what happened. Attorney Kim Kong-jin pointed out in his commentary that these export controls are paradoxically pushing U.S. enterprise customers straight into the arms of Chinese open source models.
Wow.
But there's a catch. If you are running a mid-size enterprise right now and you see that GLM 5.2 is faster and a third of the cost, your instinct to switch immediately is going to run you straight into a legal minefield.
Because it's not just a plug-and-play situation.
Yeah, exactly. Switching to an open-source, foreign-developed model is not just a simple tech swap where you change a line of code. It fundamentally alters your corporate liability.
Okay, how so?
When you take the AI engine in-house, the liability shifts to you. You suddenly have to audit all your data processing contracts to see if your clients actually allow their data to be processed by a Chinese origin model.
Oh, wow.
You have to navigate complex cross-border transfer rules. You have to scrutinize the specific commercial obligations of that MIT license. And failing to do that meticulously leads to immediate contract breaches with your own clients.
And it's not just enterprise coding environments navigating this, right?
Right.
Chinese AI integration is accelerating rapidly into everyday consumer tech, too.
Right.
Like Tencent is preparing a Q3 release for its WeChat AI assistant, Xiaowei.
Mm.
They're combining their own well model with DeepSeek.
Yeah.
And baking this right into daily consumer life food orders, ride hailing, all operating seamlessly inside the WeChat ecosystem.
The integration is happening faster than international legal frameworks can adapt. Mm. And to stay ahead in this race, to build the dominant, universally integrated model, the major tech companies are pushing their infrastructure to the absolute breaking point.
Yeah, the physical and financial strain of this arms race is incredibly visible in the data we have here. Let's look at the actual hardware breaking down.
Okay.
Anthropic, right on the precipice of their highly anticipated IPO, suffered a massive 2-hour and 42-minute outage on June 23rd.
Ouch.
Yeah, over 8,000 reports of the system going dark in the U.S. alone. Claude AI, the API, the console, completely down.
Right.
And this was immediately following a 90-minute outage the day prior.
I mean, the timing is terrible for an IPO, obviously. But the outages themselves are a symptom of the sheer physical reality of what they are trying to compute.
And the financial markets are reacting with total volatility. Look at SpaceX, trading under the ticker SPCX. On June 22nd, their stock plummeted 16.4%.
A huge drop.
Massive. And the catalyst for that drop was news of a $20 billion bond issuance. They were raising corporate debt to pay off a bridge loan, basically short-term cash they used to quickly acquire XAI.
Right.
Short sellers, you know, the investors who bet on a stock's price falling, aggressively attacked the stock. They were convinced that taking on that much debt to fund AI data centers was going to sink the company's balance sheet.
The initial market reaction was pure panic over the staggering capital expenditure required to keep AI development moving forward.
So what does this all mean? Because this is where the financial psychology gets really weird.
Hmm.
The stock tanks because they took on $20 billion in debt.
Right.
But then the very next day, that exact same bond offering received $89 billion in orders from institutional investors. It was massively oversubscribed.
Yeah.
And the stock immediately rebounded 3%.
Mm.
I mean, I have to push back on the logic here.
Yeah.
The market punishes them for taking on AI debt, but then investors immediately line up to buy that exact same debt at 4 times the volume.
It's wild, isn't it?
It sounds like investors are terrified of the cost of AI, but they were even more terrified of missing out on it.
That dual-sided panic is exactly what is driving the market right now.
Yeah.
You have to look at why that capital is required in the first place. The Anthropic server outages and the SpaceX financial gymnastics are fundamentally the same issue.
Okay, how so?
To stay competitive against models like GLM 5.2, companies are pushing the boundaries of compute memory. Like OpenAI is anticipated to release GPT 5.6 this week, and the leaked specs highlight a 1.5 million token context window, plus a new codex ultra-fast mode.
Right.
Meanwhile, Google is pushing Gemini 3.5 Pro to general availability with a 2 million token context window and launching a new $999 Gemini-powered smart speaker across 18 countries.
For those trying to visualize that, a token is essentially a piece of a word. So the 2 million token context window means the AI can hold roughly 1.5 million words in its active working memory for a single prompt.
Yep.
It's like asking a librarian to not just go find a specific book, but to simultaneously hold the entire text of a Harry Potter series in their active working memory while answering your question.
That is an incredible analogy. And when you scale that up, the physics of processing that much data are brutal. Attention mechanisms in AI scale quadratically.
Okay, meaning what?
Meaning, as you double the amount of text the AI has to remember, the processing power required doesn't just double, it quadruples.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the thermal load on the data centers, the electricity required, the sheer cost of the graphics processing units, it's staggering. Investors know these companies have to spend tens of billions to build these facilities.
Right.
But institutional investors, like major index funds, also know they have to park their capital somewhere that promises future yields. And any company that stops spending on AI will be instantly rendered obsolete.
So they rush to oversubscribe the bonds.
Exactly. It's an arms race with no finish line.
An arms race that is melting down physical servers and causing financial whiplash.
Yeah.
But while these multi-billion dollar tech giants are desperately trying to build bigger data centers and raise more debt, society at the foundational level is looking at the collateral damage and reacting completely differently.
Yes.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Norway just announced a total ban on generative AI in elementary schools.
Right.
We are talking grades 1 through 7, children ages 6 to 13, total ban going into effect this August.
And they extended restrictions upward, too.
Okay.
Grades 8 through 10, ages 14 to 16, are now permitted to use generative AI only under direct, continuous teacher supervision.
What really stands out in the intelligence is the reasoning behind the ban. This wasn't driven by some vague sci-fi fear of the future. It was driven by hard data.
Yeah.
Educational psychologists documented a measurable drop in reading, writing, and math scores among the students.
Yeah.
They warned that the AI is doing the heavy cognitive lifting. When you think about how a child learns long division, the value isn't just getting the right answer. The value is the neurological process of struggling through the logic.
Exactly. It is what psychologists call the productive struggle. When an AI instantly summarizes a historical text or solves an equation, the child's brain doesn't have to build those neural pathways.
They miss out.
They miss the critical developmental window required to build foundational cognitive skills like critical thinking and sustained attention.
The contrast here is absolutely wild.
Yeah.
We are frantically trying to restrict the exact same master key technology that can hack a global security system in a matter of months just to make sure a 10-year-old actually learns how to do long division.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Norway's ban is a massive societal signal. For the past few years, the prevailing market ethos has been AI everywhere, immediately.
Right.
Integrate it into every corporate workflow, every consumer app, every classroom. Norway represents a fundamental shift in that philosophy, moving from AI everywhere to AI where developmentally and structurally appropriate.
Which requires a completely different regulatory approach.
It does. And it contrasts sharply with how international regulators are handling the exact same technology. Look at the European Union's AI Act.
Okay.
The EU has been slowly constructing a regulatory framework for years. In this same stack of intelligence, we see that the public consultation deadline for their guidelines on classifying high-risk AI systems has been delayed again.
Right, pushed out to July 23rd.
Yes, and the actual enforcement of these high-risk rules is delayed until December 2027.
December 2027. I mean, going back to our first topic, the Five Eyes intelligence agencies are warning about critical government security breaches happening in a matter of months.
Exactly.
And the EU is hoping to enforce rules 3 years from now.
The bureaucratic pace of international law, which requires massive consultation periods, debates over risk tiers, and multinational agreements, simply cannot match the velocity of frontier AI models.
It's too slow.
Way too slow. The situation in Norway shows us that local institutions, whether that is a national school board, a regional hospital, or a local city council, are being forced to act much faster and much more decisively.
Right.
They're the ones dealing with the immediate on-the-ground fallout, like a drop in math scores or a sudden compliance breach. So they are the ones forced to institute immediate bans.
It requires a total reevaluation of how fast we expect things to move.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the ground we've covered today.
Yeah.
In just a 48-hour window of intelligence from late June 2026, we've seen AI threaten global security protocols to the point of an urgent Five Eyes warning.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched it shift international market dominance toward open source models, completely subverting U.S. export controls and creating legal headaches for enterprises. We've seen the raw compute requirements physically break corporate infrastructure and cause massive financial volatility.
It's everywhere.
And we've seen it fundamentally alter how an entire nation educates its children. Mm-hmm. It's moving so fast that you can barely map the shockwaves before the next one hits.
And for you, as a listener trying to navigate this landscape, it is crucial to recognize that adopting AI in your own life or your own business is no longer just a simple software upgrade. You aren't just downloading a new app.
Wait, the stakes are higher.
Much higher. Integration now requires navigating an incredibly complex web. You have to consider the legal compliance and liability of the specific open weight models you choose.
Yeah.
You have to account for the very real security vulnerabilities they might introduce or discover. And as we see in the education sector, you have to consider the cognitive impacts they have on the people using them. We are past the honeymoon phase. We are into the reality of structural integration.
It is a completely new paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at all of this together, the collapsing security timelines, the data centers overheating, the billions of dollars in debt moving around the market in a panic, it leaves me with one really unsettling thought.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Well, if multi-billion dollar tech behemoths are struggling to keep their AI servers online and governments can't regulate the technology fast enough to prevent a crisis, what happens when those 12-year-olds who are currently banned from using AI in Norway grow up and realize they have to fix the systems we rush to build?
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.